cults over here.
Cults over there.
There are cults
everywhere.
And we're going to tell you all about it with a fairy tale twist.
Welcome to
Once Upon a Cult.
Once upon a time, there was a horny old man who surrounded himself by very young girls and lived in a mansion. And all of America looked on like, hey, that's cool. And then they made shows about it. It's so weird.
This isn't unsettling at all.
Right. Hello, welcome to Once Upon a Cult. This week we are talking about Hugh Hefner and the Playboy Mansion.
Yes.
Ooh.
So most of my information I got from Holly Madison's book, Down the Rabbit Hole. So I'm just throwing it out there. If you'd like to read it, it's a nice read. I listened to her audiobook. She actually reads it to you.
Well, that's nice of her to do that. So you can have like bedtime stories by Holly.
Yeah. And you can do the dishes while listening to Holly.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
All right. My name's Sean.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Alan.
A real
honest. What are you doing?
I don't know. I just like doing that.
This is not a family show. Go on.
What?
I don't know.
So Hugh Hefner was born in Chicago on April 9th, 1926.
That was almost a good day.
Right. One day off.
But you know what? Actually pleased. Do not want to share.
Do not want.
Yeah.
And he was the first child of Glenn Lucius Hefner.
Well,
Lucius.
Speaking of one day off,
uh-oh.
He died. His death anniversary was yesterday that we're recording.
Oh,
September
27th. One day off.
And speaking of one day off, I'm going to be in Chicago for my layover on Friday.
I was going to say, you're not going to Chicago.
No, I just lay over there at 7 in the morning.
Yay.
I mean, when you take a 1 a.m. flight out of LAX.
I have to go to Hollywood or nights.
Yes, yeah. It's important. Priorities,
yes.
They're good.
So he kind of has kind of a boring childhood. I think it's funny what kind of propels him into his beginnings of stardom. In January of 1952, he got angry. He was a copywriter for Esquire, and he wanted a $5 raise.
That is so upsetting.
That is so
upsetting.
That
they couldn't give him that $5. Well, $5, as we all know,
yeah,
was worth
then.
A lot more
It was
then.
A lot back then. So he quit, and he started his own magazine.
Yeah, like, it's kind of crazy the way he really kind of took all the resources he could to do this, like taking out the mortgage loan and raising money from investors in order to put out this magazine. And I mean, he was a journalist. Like, he would write these thought-provoking pieces. And so I personally don't know from experience, but what you always hear people say, like, oh, yeah, I get Playboy, but for the articles.
For the articles.
And apparently it is known that there are actually very good articles that are included amidst the naked women.
And something that I learned that I was not aware of is apparently, like a lot of our leaders of these groups, Hef was very kind of liberal in his thinking. Like, in the 60s, he put in an article about if you flipped, like, homosexuality is the norm and heterosexuality is weird. And I guess a lot of people got mad, like, how could you do that? And he's like, hey, it shouldn't matter either way. Like, you shouldn't be mad. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it seems like in his younger days, he was definitely kind of very progressive. You also saw this in his support for the civil rights movement, and that even kind of then was within his businesses, like hiring equal opportunity for Black people as well. And then also even he had this like show on TV, and I guess at this time, like famous Black artists like Sammy Davis Jr., they would go on a show, but then like they would say, have them sing, and then, like, kind of rush them off, and they wouldn't be able to socialize with the other stars, the other white stars. But during his, he would, like, keep them around and talk and socialize and kind of just give an opportunity for people to see them as, like, actual people.
Yeah.
What? Crazy. That, like, he wrote about, like, labor movements and and one thing that he really said he was all about was, like, women being empowered to make their own choices about their sexuality and about having jobs. Definitely. I'm sure he believes this for all the right reasons.
Yeah, we keep seeing this.
Definitely not exploitative at all. I know. I'm just opening it up to the fact that while he did have a lot of good ideas, he was very at odds with the feminists of the time because they're like, do.
Yeah.
You aren't doing this for the right reasons when it comes to the women's movements that you are apparently supporting.
Yeah, and apparently on June 4th of 63, he even got arrested for promoting obscene literature. Yeah.
Hugh Hefner? What?
So he had featured shots of Jane Mansfield in bed with a man. You can't show that.
No, you can't.
That is so offensive.
I know. What is this? I Love Lucy?
They can't be in the same bed.
They can't be in the same bed.
They have to be on opposite sides of the room.
So it's just funny, I guess. Since I don't know a lot about Hugh Hefner, I've always only seen him as, like, this old man who owns a Playboy mansion, which... that's not even correct. He does not own the Playboy Mansion. So, yeah, he was actually kind of a good guy in the beginning.
Yes. And he was kind of attractive when he was younger. Yeah. I'm like, oh, if I didn't know what a gross person you actually kind of turn out to be, I would also find you very attractive and charming.
No, you wouldn't.
At first glance.
So, we get to the point where... he's living at the mansion. It's early 2000s. This is where things start getting a little more dark.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, it's funny, too, because we see, I mean, I guess me personally, I see if you're a Playboy bunny, you're a socialite, you're going out on the town, you have money. All of these things are wrong.
Yeah. Well, and it's not even in the 2000s, necessarily, that started. This was, like...
yeah.
Throughout its entirety. Yeah. Like, Playboy had this philosophy of I should be able to say what I want as long as I'm not hurting anyone, and I should be able to sleep with whoever I want as long as I'm not hurting anyone. And he was a very charming guy. He knew all the famous stars, and at the mansion they would have these big, amazing parties. So there were always, like, A-list celebrities that were there, and... even when you talk to certain people, they still look back on these super fondly as, like, these amazing places where everyone had a very family vibe to them. Like, not necessarily family with children, but family, like, everyone loved each other and it was playful and it wasn't necessarily sexual. Because a lot of the parties that were going on during the day were very much like, let's get together and play tennis. Let's get together and roller skate around the tennis courts. Let's get together and play in the pool. And a lot of the women that first come to it said there was this great, like, safe, valued family feel to these parties.
Yeah, Holly mentioned a lot about, like, love bombing when she first got introduced to the Playboy lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't really, I mean, Holly mentioned, I don't know if this is jumping ahead more, but, like, she mentioned, like, the thought of even, like, having sex with Hugh wasn't even introduced until, like, she actually had to do it. So, yeah, none of that was ever talked about.
Yeah, some of the girls even kept telling her, oh, we don't have sex with you. We don't have sex with you. So they kind of, like, set her up for a rude awakening.
Mm-hmm. Yes. When suddenly you were expected to have sex with you.
And it sounds so odd and robotic the way this would happen. So all the girls would come into Hugh's room in flannel pajamas. And I guess they would stand around Hugh's bed as he started touching himself. So he would masturbate while all the girls stood around the bed.
Oh.
And there was this whole kind of ritual where the older girls would try to bring in younger girls, so that way he would choose the younger girls and they wouldn't have to sleep with him. Because yeah. he would kind of choose which girl would need to come and sit on him.
And those are the recruiters, right, that they talked about? Did you hear about that?
Recruiters, no.
Yeah, so I guess some of the, and it, I guess it tends to be the older girlfriends of Hugh would uh-huh. recruit, like, new girls to be the bunnies, and I guess in order, it sounds like they did that so that they didn't have to sleep with Hugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look at this new shiny thing.
Yeah, you want to sleep with him, right?
She's so young and perky.
Yeah.
And what was weird, too, is he would, you know, do his thing with a few of the girls, and then he would bring himself to climax, so he wouldn't even do it inside any of the girls. And then that was it. They were done.
Well, he very much didn't want to have babies with anyone. He was very against doing that, but he also then didn't want to wear a condom, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and apparently this led to issues where there was allegedly a herpes outbreak in the mansion.
As happens with many a good sex cult.
Yes, it happens. You heard our last episode.
You know what? They weren't specking people.
They weren't specking. They needed to spec.
But, yeah, so it wasn't just, like, the girls that would bring in other girls. Like, he had a group of friends that absolutely loved and adored him. Most of them, like, other men, doctors and stars and all this. And they, like, even seeing them talk about him now, they talk like he hung the moon. Of course, these are people that wouldn't ever need to experience being used by him, you know? Like, if you are his peer, mm-hmm. And you're getting all these positive things like free food, free alcohol, free drugs, free parties with sexy girls everywhere, you're obviously going to have a different impression of how good of a person Hugh Hefner was. And he, even some of his friends would go out and recruit people. So I actually watched an interview from Jennifer Saginaw, who was the daughter of Mark Saginaw, who was Hugh's close friend and doctor. And he would, like, I guess he went to, like, a Hawaiian tropic kind of model competition thing, and that's where he found Holly.
Oh.
And invited her to back to the party. Like, come to one of these parties, it'll be great. And they would find, like, beautiful women in clubs, and they just invite them back. Like, if you were a beautiful woman, you could get invited to one of these parties, and then just kind of depending on how things went from there, maybe you just went to a party and that was it, or maybe you became more involved. Mm-hmm. Because that was also seen as a way to get in to being in the magazine, mm-hmm. in the Playboy magazine. And that could be a step to being a star. Like Holly mentioned, like, she was really, she admired Anna Nicole Smith and Pamela Anderson. And there was another one actress that she mentioned. And all of these people that were really big at that time started in Playboy
mm-hmm.
before anything else.
One thing that was really interesting, too, is speaking of when the girls first come to the mansion, Hugh, like many other men in power, would do this thing. He was very meticulous. He would have somebody take a Polaroid of any girl who was visiting the mansion for the first time, and then the next day the Polaroids were all given to Hefner, and he would label them A, B, or C based on their looks and how scantily dressed they were. So if they were given an A, that means they can come back anytime. B means big events or smaller pool parties. And C, only invited back if they were desperate for girls.
Wow.
Wow. That's a good grading system.
Yeah. Yeah. So one thing that was really fucked up is, much like many of our leaders, in the time that Holly was living at the mansion, he would always kind of treat her like she wasn't pretty enough or like she wasn't special like the other girls. But one day she came across her photo and she was actually given an A.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, so did she ever end up in the magazine? Like, at one point when she was talking, like, he wasn't letting her be in the magazine.
Yeah, she unfortunately came into the mansion at a point where Hef realized that, oh, maybe these girls don't actually care about me, and maybe they're just using me to be in the magazine.
What?
So he started, without telling anyone, he started getting more and more choosy about letting any of his girls in. But eventually, once she had been there long enough, and once the TV shows had started up, mm-hmm. Hugh felt there was less importance on the magazine than there was on the show. So then he let Holly, Kendra...
Bridget.
They did a shoot together.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess.
Or it might have been Crystal. I don't know these girls. I'm sorry. I never watched the Girls Next Door.
Yeah, Holly, Bridget, and Kendra
were the three from the show.
Okay, so I think it was Kendra.
At least from, like, the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
I don't know how it changed over the years. so it's a very kind of different sort of thing. You have, like, close friends really seeing the mansion as this Disneyland for adults. That made me laugh. What do you guys think of the idea of the Playboy Mansion as a Disneyland for adults? Does it sound like your kind of Disneyland?
Well, there's a lot of rides.
So many rides.
There's a grotto.
There is. A magical grotto.
Yes. No, I'd rather go to Disneyland, like actual Disneyland. Yeah.
But they had a zoo. They had a game room. They had Playmates. It was so interesting because then this Jennifer Sagnor story that I heard, she grew up in the mansion from the age of 6 years old.
Wow.
She was at the mansion all the time because her father was there all the time, like even like spent the night a bunch of the times. And she was actually babysat by the Playmates quite often.
Wow.
And she just idolized these women. She loved the family vibe that everyone had, and she loved the women that were there. She felt like it was a place that was like very free, very warm and comforting. And she kind of grew up in that, sort of with Hugh as an uncle-like figure. And then when she was 17, she ended up having an affair with one of his girlfriends at the time. Her name was Kendall. And she just, like, full-on was in love. She was 17. Kendall was older. So it was kind of inappropriate. But then what makes it even extra more inappropriate is then she did get taken to Hugh's room one night. And this person that she'd always seen as, like, an uncle, father-type figure is suddenly, like, trying to engage them, like, in a threesome sort of situation. Wow. But then Kendall, the girlfriend, like, was like, I can't do this, and, like, burst into tears and left. And so then he was like, oh, don't worry about it. Nothing's going to happen, and sent her away for the night. And I don't think anything ever happened after that. But that was, like, a transition from her, where it went from this, like, safe, wonderful, beautiful place that she grew up and mm-hmm. really admired, to then she started to kind of, like, see the dark underbelly that even someone living there 24/7 didn't really get to see until, like, 11 years after being
there. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so... It's weird to me, too, that he was married... with two young kids that live next door to the mansion.
The whole time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until very late in the game. Like, here, I'll go through this. This will kind of give us a setup of what a week in the mansion looked like. And this is why a lot of the girls would kind of get bored really quick. First off, they had to be in by 9 p.m.
Yes.
Which, I mean, if you live in L.A., ain't nothing's over by 9 p.m.
Yeah, well, and they're all, like, young, gorgeous women.
Yeah. And they're not allowed to be with any other men, even though a lot of them would sneak out and be with other men. Mm-hmm. But Sundays was a pool party.
Sunday pool party!
Monday was manly night, so men would eat from a buffet and they'd screen a movie. Mm. Tuesday night was family night, so his wife and two kids would come over from the next door home.
Wow.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's well publicized that, like, he was with all these different girlfriends. So I'm like, why are we okay with this?
Well, I mean, he also was very vocal about, like, being polyamorous. Mm. I don't think he used the term polyamory necessarily in the things that I saw him talking about it. But, like... How very different do you think of someone that's polyamorous as opposed to someone that's just like, oh, my wife's next door and I have three girlfriends?
Well, my problem is I don't see this as polyamory because he's not giving the choice to the girlfriends. Like, they can't be with anyone but him, but he can be with whoever he wants. So this is more like polygamy.
It's more like sister wives.
Yeah.
Which we also like to watch on TV.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, but it's there.
So Wednesday was club night, so all the girls had to be ready by 10 p.m. to go to exclusive clubs in L.A.
That's after...
It's
after their time that they have to be in bed.
So Holly describes this as like, it was nice to escape the mansion, but then it would get old because you're at a club in like the private area drinking, like you're not allowed to talk to guys. So it's like, after a while, it gets old. Like, what do you do? Thursday was their off night, so they could do whatever they want as long as they're in by nine.
Except for not leave.
Friday was club night again, so Wednesday and Friday were club night, and Saturday was buffet and dinner with Hef and the girls. And so this was another thing where a lot of the girls loved Holly for the fact that she was kind of a nerd, it sounds like. Like, she's very into old movies, she's very into, like, movies in general, love Marilyn Monroe. I almost said Manson. So she actually did seem to enjoy Hugh's company more than some of the other girls. She would enjoy watching the old movies with him. So that was another thing. If we can get another girl to go spend time with Hugh, then the rest of us can sneak off and be with our boyfriends.
But then on the flip side of that, he would kind of then use that to fuel some of the animosity between the girls by being like, well, why can't you be more like Holly? Like, she... like, likes to do things with me. And I do remember, like, I've never really watched The Girls Next Door in depth, but I do remember, like, feeling like she was kind of the main girl. Like, and the others were also there, but, like, she was always the one, like, right on his arm. Like, kind of. She had that number one girl position.
Yeah, I think she actually was the one that lived in the same room as him, too.
Yeah, I got the impression from Holly's book that I think Hugh actually loved her and cared about her more than the other girls. Because he did more to, like, manipulate her after she left than he did to other people. Like, on her birthday, after she was done with Hef, she wanted to go to Disneyland. And she had said at this time, Hugh didn't like traveling to Anaheim, didn't like going to Disney, like, whatever. But he just so happened to want to go to Disneyland on her birthday.
Well, of course.
Yeah. So I guess she told the her escort at Disney, like, can you just make sure that you steer us away from Hef? I don't want to run into him.
It's funny because if you look up pictures, he's in his, like, scooter around Disney.
Oh, no.
He's like, I totally want to be here for me.
Yeah.
I really love this right now.
Which, that's another thing. Holly's a big Disney nerd. I love it.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. So the way that the girls would also kind of be controlled is Hugh expected them to look a certain way. So they had to get clothes and beauty treatments. So they'd get an allowance of just $1,000 a week.
Oh my goodness.
But the thing is, they would have to spend it, because if some of the girls found out that this person was, like, pocketing it, then their allowance would go down.
Exactly.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's one of those things, they were getting money, but not money that they could save or keep for themselves. So this is very controlling, because if you try to leave, you have nothing.
Yeah. No resources.
Yeah. And Hugh did not like his girls to be intelligent.
What? I mean, he's all about women being independent, but have an education. Come on. No, just smart enough to hold my drink, thank you.
Yeah. Holly describes multiple times where she would, like, say something smart to him, and he would just go quiet and then treat her dumb. Or, like, during movies, he would lean over and explain the plot to her, and she's like, I know. I get it.
Yeah. And you mentioned how he liked his girls to, like, kind of all look the same. There was definitely, I feel like in his later years... especially if you look at some of the older photos when he's there with his, like, seven girlfriends, he used to have more ahead of time. They were, like, very, like, there were some that were brunettes or redheads and, like, different styles. But, like, if you look at back at the 2000s, they all look the same. They all have the same bleach blonde hair. They've all had, like, boob jobs, nose jobs. Like, they all are very skinny. Like, he kind of started making them all look the same. And Holly mentioned one time where she just didn't feel like... She wanted to, like, make her own choice and be different than everyone that was around her, so she chopped off her hair. Not even, like, a pixie cut, but, like, you know, kind of Bob-ish.
Marilyn Monroe.
And he was enraged. He shouted at her. She told her that she was ugly and looked like a man. Like, he didn't like that. And then I guess also it was a problem if she ever tried to wear red lipstick. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't bother him when other people wore red lipstick, but when she did, she was... a whore and ugly.
Yeah, well, I heard that he hated red lipstick and it was well known, so nobody would wear it. But yeah, she tried it once to look like Marilyn and he yelled at her. But then later, when a younger girl came in, she wore the red lipstick and Holly braced herself for the berating. And then he was like, oh, I love red lipstick on you. It looks so good. He did it just to piss Holly off because that's what he would do. He loved pitting the girls against each other.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and controlling, like, you kind of do that love bombing, then followed by the gaslighting, and tearing, like, to make someone feel unsure of themselves, to make them feel off balance, and, like, they might be the crazy ones, especially when you see everyone around you, so, like, ah, you're so great over this guy, and, like, obviously you must be the one that's crazy.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, so much.
Now, I had never heard of this. I feel like Rachel probably has. Have you heard of Quaaludes?
Oh, yeah.
I knew it.
They're not around anymore. They're illegal, but they were the big drugs of, like, 60s, 70s, 80s. Quaaludes.
Apparently, Hefner still had access to them when Holly was there, because he would always offer Quaaludes to people.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're probably around somewhere, but basically, in the U.S., Quaaludes are just illegal.
So, to my understanding, so they're like muscle relaxants that make you more ready for sex.
They make you loose and like, yeah, dude, let's have a swingers party.
Oh, that went somewhere else.
I feel like when there's, like, things with 60s swingers sort of things, like, it always involves Quaaludes.
Okay.
They go hand in hand.
Yeah, so he would push those a lot, especially at the clubs. He would push those so that way the girls would be ready for his firm penis. What?
So good. Yeah. Ugh, yuck.
You're welcome.
Oh, my goodness. But yeah, I think one thing that was really interesting was, like, there was the element of this Playboy Mansion being kind of, like, weird things going on there. There were also the clubs across the nation with, like, the classic Playboy bunnies. Mm-hmm. That worked there, and even those were, like, it seemed like it was situations of kind of grooming, very controlling things. Like, they had their classic costume that they're in, and they would be weighed in once a month in front of each other, and if you gained 5 pounds or more, you would get, like, a warning, and if you didn't have it down by next time, you would be let go. And there was this kind of false sense of safety because they had really strict rules for the membership, that came to those clubs, that they weren't allowed to touch the women, inside the club. But at the same time, there were VIP members where they were really encouraged to do whatever the VIP members wanted them to do, whether that be, like, going to a party with them or whatnot. But then outwardly, they're like, oh, no one can touch our bunnies. But then another thing is, like, the people that go there know that these women work there, and they were not offered any sort of protection, like, outside of the club. So you end your shift, and you have to then go out, walk to your car, and, like, get home. And there was actually a huge thing that happened at there is a resort, the Great Gorge Resort in New Jersey. What's a Playboy kind of resort there, and where you could go and experience the ultimate Playboy lifestyle experience. And there was a situation where a couple of men like presented themselves as VIPs to some of the bunnies. And a lot of these VIPs often would be involved within the movie industry. And so they told them that they were going to be filming a movie. And so they invited the girls to come and be in it. So they went with them. They were drugged, raped, and recorded and held captive for a few days and then eventually released. And afterwards, this group of bunnies was fired.
Wow.
Yeah. as if they had done something wrong in this situation where, like, there's, like, these official rules of don't do anything with the members and members don't do anything with them. Oh, but if they're VIP, you should do whatever they want and go with them. So it was another one of those things where, like, it kind of could come across as something that was really empowering women, because this was a job where they got paid better than they could out in the normal labor market, more than they would get paid as a secretary or a nurse. You would get paid for being a Playboy bunny in the clubs. And then there was room to move up. You could become part of management there. And there were other opportunities further up in the organization to get leadership roles. But then also it just kind of was like really manipulative and very strict on the girls and dangerous at times. So I found that interesting.
Yeah, I'm so sad right now because when you started talking, it sounded like kind of a fun Moulin Rouge thing. And then you went to the drugged and raped, and that's not fun anymore.
No, not fun anymore.
They had a Playboy Club series. Did you hear or have you seen that?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, it was it's like a drama, but based in the Playboy Club. Oh. It only lasted one season, but it was interesting.
I missed that.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
I did.
Wow.
I do remember, like, I think one of the Playboy bunnies killed a guy. So, like, at the beginning.
He probably deserved
it. Yeah, he deserved it. But, like, that's kind of, like, the story of, like, keeping secrets and stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. I watched, to kind of study up for this, there was, in January of this year, A&E released a docuseries called The Secrets of Playboy, and it really focuses a lot on the stories of the different women that were kind of, it had Holly on for an episode, it had some of his older girlfriends there, it also had women that worked in these clubs, and even like were bunnies, but then also they were bunny trainers and then eventually bunny mothers. So it was really interesting because they really tried to do a lot of the storytelling from the perspective of the women that were kind of taken advantage of.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah. No more Playboy clubs today, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yay. Yeah. Everything kind of, I think one of the biggest things that started to destroy this whole image was cell phones, because suddenly all the A-listers who wanted to go to the mansion, now people have cell phones, so now they can take pictures of you at the Playboy Mansion, and that can make you look naughty.
Oh, yes. And that reminds me of another thing.
Oh, no.
About the Playboy Mansion, is the way that they had recording devices everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Both audio and video. So another thing that could kind of trap women into being part of this was the fact that if you did get into sexual situations with someone, they had video of it. And it wasn't just with them, also with like the stars that were coming there. A lot of journalists came to this place and publishers. And so Hugh had tons of material on everyone from what they did at these parties. So he had a lot of blackmail information right at his fingertips. And that was actually really interesting with the Jennifer Saginaw. She made a book that she released about how she basically grew up there and kind of that transition of going from it being wonderful to kind of learning a little bit more about it. Even so, she never painted Hugh Hefner as a negative light in this book. She was still kind of protective of that and didn't feel comfortable saying anything against him in that. And so when it first got released, he reached out to her and he's like, well, I wanted to congratulate you. Just make sure you don't, like, bring me up and anything. And she's like, no, of course not. And then he asked her to send over, like, the interview she had coming up to talk about this book. And she sent over this list of interviews and that were all lined up over the next couple of weeks. And then one by one, those got canceled by every single one because of the connections that he had and the controlling influence that he had in media.
Wow. That's so bad.
He's so bad.
So bad.
Yeah.
Well, before we get to our cabos, did anybody have anything else they'd like to bring up?
Well, one thing that was kind of interesting that Holly mentioned in one of the podcasts I listened to, she said it was, like, in addition to them all, like, looking the same, she kind of alluded to how he kind of had a bit of a fetish of, like, being with a younger woman, so he made sure that, or he wanted all his women to be shaved. He even said, like, and I don't know how this works, but, like, the vagina, I guess there's, like,
tightenings?
Well, like, the lips. Like, he didn't want any, like, extra skin to be shown. Hmm. So, like, I guess to be more clean, I don't know. But, like, and she also said that he had a picture of her when she was a kid, like, by his bedside, too. Which is very odd, yeah. So, I mean, just adding Jennifer's story to it as well, too, it kind of, like, made me think of that, which is weird.
Yeah.
Ew. Yeah.
Yuck.
All right, so, charismatic leader.
Yeah.
Everyone talks about how wonderfully charismatic he is.
Yeah.
And intelligent, and, like, it's so weird, I think, also, most of our experience of him is him being such an old man, mm-hmm. and they really edited him in that show to come across as, like, just the nice old grandpa sort of situation. But clearly that is not
what he is. That actually brings up something I forgot, that Holly goes into great detail about how they make the show. And you're right. Stuff is edited in sometimes weeks after. Like, they did once where they had to record a phone call where Kendra invites Holly over, but they already filmed Holly going. So it's, like, so edited. And then, like, sometimes they would just... there was one where one of the girls got in a fight with Hefner, and she had asked the crew not to film it. So what the crew ended up doing is they had an audio device where they captured the whole argument and whole discussion. Oh. And then what they did on the show is they did a shot of the girl in Hefner's back and they played the audio to make it look like they were sitting there having this discussion that she had asked them not to put in the show.
Wow. And yeah, they were made to sign the contract to be on the show, like, the day they got it. Like, they didn't.
Yeah, they weren't, like, allowed to read through it. Yeah. Like, I think Bridget was in the freaking shower. And he, like, came busting in and was like, why haven't you signed it yet? And screaming at her in the shower. And just like, signed it.
And they weren't paid, I think, for the first season, too.
They weren't. But I do think, eventually, as it went on, like, that became a platform that really helps those girls
get out. Sure. Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah. Well, I heard they kind of were paid for season one, but in a weird way, because they finally got offered their centerfold, and they got paid $25,000 for the centerfold, and then they asked, well, what about our pay for season one? And they said, well, you got the centerfold, isn't that enough?
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, they didn't get paid, but they did.
Yeah.
But they also, in season two, I think it was season two, they asked for a raise, and they were told, none of you matter. Like, you are just Hugh's girls. We could replace you with anyone. So Holly had kind of a, what's the right word?
Existential crisis?
Well, it turns out, like, the show was, like you said, she was the star of the show. And, like, when she left and started her own show, Holly's World was a big success. So it was,
I went and saw her peep show in Vegas.
Oh, you did?
I did. Not because of that. Like, it was mostly because, you know, I love burlesque and all that. And it just so happened to be playing in Vegas when I was, I don't even remember who I was there with and why I saw it. But I actually think instead of her at that time, it had gotten passed off to Scary Spice or something. I don't know. Mm. But it was a really good show.
That's funny because my parents saw it too after Hollywood was in it. So yeah. You were there with them, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe you saw. Why are you going to Vegas with my parents?
It was them that I went with. I just didn't want you to know.
Okay. That actually makes a lot more sense. What about Alienation?
Definitely.
Yeah. Curfew.
Yeah, not being able to go outside.
Yeah.
Not allowed to date other people, even though I get to have all the girlfriends.
I get them all. That's always been such a pet peeve to me, when one person gets everything and the others only get that one person.
Why not come to this with equality in mind?
Belief system.
I don't feel like it really has a belief system.
No.
How about outside evil?
No. Not really an outside evil.
Sense of community?
Definitely yes. That. Yeah. Oh, that was another. Okay, so another thing that it reminds me of, I think, was it Holly that said that, actually, it might not have been Holly. It might have been one of his older girlfriends, whose name is now escaping me. But he had a huge fascination with Charles Manson.
Oh, yeah.
Like, huge. Like, he would watch the home videos that they took with, like, the girls with all the guns and talking about using the guns and all that. And he really, like, idolized Manson. It was like, just, like, look at the way all these women follow him and the idea of it as the family. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting.
That's scary.
He is scary. Yeah, he found it really interesting the way that people would do whatever Manson told them to. Like, so the fact that he had the amount of control that these women went to jail for him and then spent their time in jail and came out of jail still devoted to Manson. That he just thought was the bee's knees.
I want to know, like, at what point when you are following a serial killer and jealous of the control they have, do you realize, am I the villain?
Silly narcissists and sociopaths don't have that capacity of self-reflection.
Yeah, so this one, it has, in my opinion, it has very culty vibes, very similar to a cult, slightly off from a cult.
To me, it reads more as a domestic violence situation. Yeah. Like, even though this was a guy that had rotating women in his life, which can add up to be a big group, and sometimes it was a group of a bunch of ones, like, the fact that there's that love bombing and gaslighting and kind of, like, really that jealousy that's there. And I believe I also heard that when he was younger, he was more violent. Like, by the time he was in the 2000s, like, he was an old man. He couldn't do much.
Yeah.
But, like, I heard about a situation where he grabbed someone by their hair and was, like, being really horrible. And so, like, to me, it sounds more that he's just, like, a domestic abuser.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a domestic abuser that had a lot of power and that was also someone in a position that would take on, like, multiple women. And, yeah. So that's what I would call it out as. Not a cult, but domestic violence for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, Holly even mentioned that, like, it was almost like Stockholm Syndrome with him. Like, looking back, like, she probably wouldn't have, but because of what she was given and, like, that safety, you know.
You start with the love bombing and everyone around him admiring him so much.
Yeah, so then, like, that just turned into, like, okay, like, maybe I do love him because of all the stuff he's given me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Ew.
This is your fault. You wanted this.
It's my sister's fault.
Oh, okay.
But this was eye-opening, like, I would never have known all this about Hef if we didn't do this. So I'm sure there's other people out there who are enjoying listening to all the tea on Hugh Hefner and his grossness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, good. So this was a lighter episode, as we promised, since Sendik was a little dark.
I don't see why, after all the murder I've brought your way, and, well, Sendik wasn't murder so much.
No.
But, yeah, before that.
So next week, or in 2 weeks, we're going to talk about Order of the Solar Temple.
Solar.
Temple. Say solar.
Solar.
Thank you. Where can people find you, girl?
Me imagining know, the listeners like, expecting Rachel to talk
about that. Yes. I'm a boy. And boy. You can find us on Marvelous Galaxy of Disney, where you talk about Disney topics every week. Almost every week. Recently.
I mean, if someone's car doesn't break down, there's
I still made an episode happen.
Yeah. Yes, but I didn't have a microphone that weekend. I was traveling away from home without a microphone.
I know.
And I'm Rachel, and you can find me on A Real Bodice Ripper, a podcast about romance novels.
Ew.
It's great.
You're great.
And how about you, sir?
And you can find me on Solving for X, where we're going through the whole X-Men cartoon series. Or you can now find me on Words of the Witches, where Kevin and I are reading through the Charmed comic book.
Solar.
Solar. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye.